world's greatest spy is going undercover.
You turn me into a pigeon.
I'm a freak of nature.
This Boxing Day, be shaken and bird.
Pigeons have 360-degree vision.
Will Smith.
I can see my butt and your face at the same time.
Tom Holland.
That is so cool.
Spies in Disguise in cinemas Boxing Day.
What's going on, everybody? It's the final Wednesday night. Final Wednesday night war. Anyway. Of 2019, as we get going here. This is your final AEW Dynamite review of the year for the December 18th, 2019 episode of Dynamite on TNT from Corpus Christi, Texas. Notice I did not say Corpses Christi. I have to give the crowd in Corpus Christi tonight a lot of credit. They were as lively and energetic as I can remember a crowd in Corpus Christi in many years. Maybe it's a WWE thing. Maybe it really is a WWE thing. Anyway, let's turn that music off and get going here. This is, as I said, the final Dynamite review for 2019. Next week, there is no show. It is Christmas Day, and then after that, it's 2020. The year is almost over, so this was the final episode, and like I was saying, giving props to Corpus Christi here tonight. Very lively crowd. I don't know how many people they had there. I know they had a lot of trouble moving tickets. So it might have been a relatively small crowd, but they were a lively bunch. And so we're going to get into the results of tonight's show. We'll forego calls this week. This is going to be a rapid-fire review. I'm going to try to get in and try to get out so I can go see what I missed with the NXT show and get all caught up. So we'll get you guys caught up here real quick. Don't forget the poll is open for Dynamite. Poll's also open for NXT on Twitter. At Solomonster is my handle on there if you'd like to vote. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You can let me know what you thought of tonight's show so you can go vote. And as always, hit the sub button here on the channel if you would like to donate. Super chats are open. Super chats are open for business. Russo on a poll, $10 or more. Otherwise, they'll be randomized. And you'll see those popping up on your screen as they come in. One quick note here from the AEW Dark taping. Colt Cabana wrestled his final match for Ring of Honor last Friday night at the final battle show. Lost in 3 minutes to Alex Shelley. Tonight, he debuted for AEW as a guest commentator on AEW Dark. And so that airs next week. They've been bringing in a lot of guest commentators. Vicky Guerrero was on the show this past Tuesday. Well, I guess last night. I haven't had the chance to check it out or not. They had Taz a few weeks ago. They've had, you know, a few names they've brought in for a guest spot. And I guess this was Colt Cabana's turn. Jake Johnson with the $5 Fight Me Super Chat. Happy Festivus to my favorite wrestling podcast. No airing of grievances this year. Oh, there's going to be airing of grievances this weekend. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. After that tweet that I put up yesterday, all the bozos that have tweeted me in the last 24 hours, oh, believe me, there will be lots of airing of grievances come this Sunday. But tonight, no grievances. Aside from the ending of this show, I was not a fan of the end of this show tonight. I'm still somewhat sick, so you'll have to pardon me here. That's why I missed last week's stream. That was the first Dynamite stream that I missed. And I apologize for that, but it's what happens when you're under the weather. There's Shark Boy, JB Tanner. Thank you for subbing to the channel. So yeah, I don't know what's going on exactly with Colt Cabana. As far as, you know, his status. Is he signed to AEW? You know, is he going to be wrestling for AEW? I'm not 100% sure on that. I would be surprised if it was just a one-shot, in and out, and we did not see him again. And that probably had something to do with him no longer being in Ring of Honor. So the bigger question to me is, will he be able to or allowed to continue to wrestle for the NWA? You know, he is part of the NWA brand, the NWA Power Show. He just lost his national title to Aaron Stevens at their Into the Fire pay-per-view last weekend. So we'll hopefully get an update soon on what Cabana's status is. As far as tonight's show, we got right into the action. They did not waste any time. Justin Roberts introductions for the Lucha Bros. against Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page. No sign of tension this week, like there was last week, between Omega and Page, at least until the end. That was kind of a problem, I guess. What happened at the end? A major malfunction at the finish. Great action, hot opener. You know, as these tag team openers usually are, I'm a little, you know, I don't want to say that I'm... It doesn't bother me that they're doing a lot of tag matches, because I know why they're doing it. You know, they're doing it because they want to show that they have the best tag team division in the world. They have said from day one that they are going to place an emphasis on tag team wrestling in this company. Are they doing too many tag team matches? Probably. In fact, they opened tonight's show, back-to-back tag team matches. What do you guys think? You think they should cut back on the number of tag team matches? It seems a little excessive to me. We all know their tag team division is one of the strong points of AEW. So, you know, they don't really have anything to prove, but I think they sometimes go a little overboard as far as the number of tag team matches. We had a brief Dark Order tease in the middle of this match, out of nowhere. It was like a little hiccup in the production. They apologize. Oh, we apologize for the technical difficulties that we're having. So it was just a very brief thing. Not the last time we would see this throughout the show tonight. I actually like what they've been doing with the Dark Order as far as these creepy vignettes, these little teases. I was not a fan of the ending tonight of the show, but we'll get to that. There was a drop salt by Adam Page. So basically he used Pentagon here as a springboard to kick off of into a moonsault onto Phoenix for a near fall. There's a very weird spot in this match. I don't know how many of you picked up on it, where Phoenix sold a Snapdragon suplex by Kenny Omega. So Omega hits the Snapdragon. Phoenix basically no-sold. He didn't really sell it. He no-sold it. He immediately popped up, and he tried for a pop-up cutter. And Omega just sort of stepped to the side, and Phoenix fell down. That was strange. Seemed like a little bit of a botch to me. Buckshot Lariat by Adam Page clobbers Kenny Omega by accident. Pentagon moved out of the way. And the Lucha Bros pick up the win, double stomp into the package pile driver. There's a shoving match after the match between Omega and Page. And then Pac shows up on the Jumbotron. He's got a message for Kenny Omega. He says, "Let me remind you of what I am capable of." And he opens the door to one of the dressing rooms, and we see Omega's friend Michael Nakazawa. For some reason, he is sitting with his back turned, just by himself. He's facing the wall. It's like if you were in school, and you misbehaved, and you would tell the other person, face the wall. I think I actually told some idiot who wrote into the show once, who wasn't really a fan of the show, he was being a moron, and I forgot what episode it was. I believe even I, at one point, told somebody, face the wall, let the adults speak, right? That's just what you do when the kids are misbehaving. So Nakazawa, he's sitting there, I don't know if he has AirPods in, headphones, whatever it was, but he can't see anything, he can't hear Pac coming in. Pac closes the door behind him. Omega jets through the crowd into the back, and as he is just getting into the backstage area, they cut to commercial, but they maintain the picture-in-picture. Now, let me just say, I really hate the picture-in-picture stuff, and especially the way that they use it in AEW. I don't ever see NXT or WWE doing the picture-in-picture when there's an angle going on. If there's a promo, if there's a backstage segment, they do it during matches. Sometimes they do utilize it during matches, and I have no problem with AEW doing that. But they do it here in this company, on this show, during times where they really should not be doing the picture-in-picture stuff. I really wish they would just go to break, save the important stuff for when we get... It's just very distracting. And here's the worst part about it, right? So they'll do the picture-in-picture stuff, and literally, there'll be an angle going on, something that seems relatively important to the show. And when they come back from commercial break and they go full screen again, the announcers don't even acknowledge what just happened when they come back from break. It's like it never even happened. I mean, that's even dumber. Now, from what I saw, I mean, television over here is halfway across the room, but from what I saw, we saw Kenny Omega get to the back, he got to the room, and he didn't find anybody inside the room. So then he exited the room, he got jumped by the Lucha Bros, and Hangman Page got back there, he chased them away, and that was it. But it seems to me like we saw him go into the guy's dressing room, and when Kenny Omega got back there, there was nobody there. Now, maybe the announcer said something later on about it. Maybe I missed it. But they came back from break, and they just went right into the next segment. Right into the next match. That's, I think, something I'd like to see them do less of here on this show. We had Cody and Darby Allin. Yet another tag team match, taking on the Butcher and the Blade with the Bunny. Stipulation is that if Cody and Darby win, Darby Allin gets the rematch with Cody that he has been pining for since their 20-minute time limit draw back at Fyter Fest. So there's a point in the match here, very early on, beginning of the match in fact, where Darby Allin blind tags himself in, right at the start. He wants to step into the ring against the Butcher. And they go at it for a while. Cody gets in. When Cody gets in, Butcher and Blade, they have their way with him. Go to commercial, come back, Cody's getting beaten down. Finally, Darby gets the hot tag. And that's where things started to pick up a little bit. There's a crossroads that Cody hits to the Butcher. Goes for the pin, but the Bunny, Allie, gets up on the apron to distract the referee. We had a spot where Cody and Darby hit stereo topes to the Butcher and the Blade. Darby Allin nearly killed himself in doing so. I guess it really wouldn't be a Darby Allin match if he didn't try to kill himself at least once. Then he hit the coffin drop to the Butcher out on the apron. Actually hit it this time. He didn't miss it. And Cody hit the Cody Cutter. Is that really what they call it? Is that the name of it? The Cody Cutter? I don't know. Sounds kind of corny to me. But he hit the Cody Cutter. Like he was John Cena hitting the springboard stunner, and he pinned the Blade. So the Butcher and the Blade suffer their first loss. Darby Allin gets his rematch with Cody sometime in the new year. No MJF on this show. More importantly, to everybody in the chat, no Wardlow. That's a fail. That's all right. I'm okay with not having guys on the show every week. We had the big MJF money promo last week. Can save him for January 1st. It's all good. We had a great Jungle Boy training video. This was only about a minute long. I first saw this pop up on their YouTube channel a few days ago. I was hoping they would show it here on the TV show. I mean, look, if you can't find 60 seconds to spare for a great hype package for one of your main events, then what the hell are you doing? So thankfully they showed it here. I thought it was very well done.
World's greatest spy is going undercover.
You turn me into a pigeon.
I'm a freaking agent.
This Boxing Day, be shaken and burned.
Pigeons have 360-degree vision.
Will Smith.
I can see my butt and your face at the same time.
Tom Holland.
That is so cool.
Spies in Disguise in Cinemas Boxing Day.
We had Awesome Kong against Miranda Alice. This was Kong's first match here on Dynamite. She had Brandi Rhodes at ringside, Melanie Cruz, that's the woman who came out of the crowd a few weeks ago, wanted to be part of their Nightmare Collective, so she's part of their group. Kong made short work of Miranda, beat her with the, the Implant Buster, and then they took a lock of her hair after the match was over. I am not a fan of this Nightmare Collective stuff. We'll see where it's going ultimately, but I'm not a fan of this. We saw a clip of Jim Ross sitting down with Jungle Boy. Oh, boy. We saw Jim Ross interviewing Jungle Boy Jack Perry, which was highlighted by Jim Ross asking about his father, the late Luke Perry, who Jungle Boy says he's going to make his father proud. That was sort of the gist of this. I don't know why it is so hard. It wasn't really an issue here. There was a point earlier in the show. I don't know why it's so hard for Jim Ross to say the man's name. Earlier in the show, he was stumbling all over himself, trying to say Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy, Jack. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. It shouldn't be too hard to say this man's name. Just call him what, you know what? Just call him whatever you want. Just call him whatever you want. JR is at the point, he's at that age, he's at that point in his career. He's a legend. He's been doing this forever. He don't give a shit. He just does not give a shit. So you know what? Call him whatever you want. Stephen Fowler, thank you very much. Wow, $24.99 super chat from Stephen Fowler. The largest donation of the night so far. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. I also appreciate Chris Jericho, Le Champion, against Jungle Boy Jack in the 10-minute challenge. This was non-title, of course. Cradled by Jungle Boy early on for a near fall. A few minutes later, Jericho hits a code breaker. He's got the match won. Jericho has this match well in hand, and he lifts up Jungle Boy's head at the last second. He got cocky. Now remember the rules here. All Jungle Boy had to do was survive 10 minutes. You know, pinfalls, submissions, they all count. But all he has to do is last 10 minutes. There is a 10-minute time limit to this match. Jake Hager's outside the ring, and Jungle Boy, after being, I don't remember if he got thrown out or if he rolled out, but he's outside the ring. Hager throws him into the metal barricade. That brings over the Luchasaurus. And Luchasaurus and Jake Hager start throwing bombs. And the fans were really into it because you got these two big tough guys beating the hell out of each other. What's not to like? Marco Stunt, he is not a big tough dude. He came off the apron at Hager. Hager knocked him the fuck out with one punch. Excalibur made a comment in here because Marco Stunt was out. I mean, he was just laid out on the ground. And Excalibur made a comment in here about the corpse. He referred to Marco Stunt's dead body on the floor as the corpse of Marco Stunt. And for some reason, this greatly amused Tony Schiavone. He was openly laughing at the thought of the corpse of Marco Stunt. He found this funny. He was very entertained by this. So once Aubrey Edwards saw what was going on, she kicked everybody out from ringside. Jungle Boy kicked it into the next gear. Two straight suicide dives out onto Jericho, capped off by a cannonball dive out over the top rope. Jungle Boy going crazy here. He used Jericho's own lion salt on him for a near fall. At that point, I'd say there were about 3 minutes left in the match. So Jericho hits a power bomb, transitions into the walls of Jericho with about a minute left. Jungle Boy is trying desperately to get to the bottom rope. He's scratching, he's clawing, he's reaching for the bottom rope. He's trying to get to it, and Jericho drags him back into the center of the ring, and he wrenches back for the Lion Tamer. 10 seconds, he's holding on. 5 seconds, and he survives. 10 minutes. I was so happy they did not have Jungle Boy tap out with 2 seconds left or 1 second left. How many times have we seen that dumb finish? Usually in WWE. I was hoping we would not see that here because that is just completely unbelievable. Didn't we see that in a match with Charlotte and Sasha? Maybe they had like an... Maybe did they have an Iron Woman match? I feel like maybe they had an Iron Woman match or something. I just remember some dumb spot where you've got like a second left in the match. It's just so phony and contrived when they do that. Thankfully, we didn't see that here. So Jericho hears the bell. He thinks Jungle Boy tapped out. He thinks that he won the match. Till Aubrey Edwards said, no, no, time ran out. And Jericho loses it. He loses his shit. Goes outside. He starts accosting Justin Roberts. He's demanding that he rings the bell. I want 5 more minutes, like he's fucking Lex Luger at the King of the Ring in 93 with Tatanka. I want 5 more minutes. And apparently Justin Roberts is like a de facto general manager here in AEW because they rang the bell and they gave these guys 5 more minutes. So back inside, Jungle Boy gets a Rana into a pin. Jericho kicks out. Crucifix, and again, Jericho kicks out. Jericho says, you know what? Fuck this. He bails. He grabs his title and he walks to the back. I thought that was funny. Never even made eye contact with Jungle Boy on his way out. Just grabbed his championship and off he went. I thought this was exactly what it should have been. This was fun. You knew, you know, it wasn't going to be long. You knew it wasn't going to go longer than 10 minutes. Oh, I guess they added 5 minutes. So it was about 11 and a half minutes. So they didn't overstay their welcome. Jungle Boy got a lot of offense in. He's just this great underdog character. Yeah, he's not a big guy. He's not as small as Marco Stunt. But he's a small guy. But he's over. He's over. And I wouldn't call him a comedy character the way that you would, you know, call Orange Cassidy a comedy character. So, small though he may be, he's one of the most popular stars in the entire roster. Young guy, 22 years old, I thought they made him look great tonight. And he got to hang with the champion. Brian, with the Corbin Krang. $2 super chat. Says, Marco, you just got knocked the fuck out. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He got carried out, too. So we go to break. We come back. Jericho's still there. He's on the ramp. He's got his belt. Tony Schiavone is there to interview Chris Jericho on the ramp. And they go back and forth, and Jericho says, Schiavone, shut up before I beat your ass. And then he turns his attention to Jon Moxley and his offer that he had made to Moxley a week ago. Or was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was a week ago. All these shows tend to blend together. But he said the offer to Moxley for him to join the Inner Circle, he says, again, take your time. But next week, there is no episode of Dynamite because it's Christmas Day. But when we come back on New Year's Day, I and the Inner Circle have a giant surprise for Jon Moxley. And then he wished him a very Merry Christmas. You know what I think the surprise should be? I think the surprise should be they all gang up and beat the piss out of Jon Moxley for that light-up jacket. Remember that light-up jacket that Jericho had that Dean Ambrose destroyed 3 years ago? Moxley still owes Jericho $15,000 for that jacket. I think it's about time he collects. And again, there is no show next week. They did make that a point to remind us. They are back on New Year's Day in Jacksonville. We had Dr. Britt Baker and Chris Statlander, number one and number two, respectively, in the ladies' rankings. This was a number one contenders match to see who will go on to challenge Riho for the AEW women's title on New Year's Day. There was a joindarkorder.com website plug on screen with hashtag that randomly appeared on screen during the match, which promptly led to Excalibur telling people to instead go to shopaew.com. Jim Ross chimed in. He said, you know, you can order some barbecue sauce online. So that was how they transitioned away from the Dark Order stuff, to plug some BBQ. Boy, these guys, he gets to plug his barbecue every week. He and Tony, they get to plug their podcast with Conrad every week. It's not a bad gig. Not a bad gig for these guys. So Britt Baker, I hate to pick on Britt Baker, but this is not the first time that she has done the sling blade, and I have winced. I have a name for it. I call it the sloppy sling blade. She had a sloppy sling blade. Again, if she can't, you know, if she's not comfortable doing the move and it doesn't look good, then just don't do the move. It's okay. I mean, look, not everybody is good at every move. You got to play to your strengths and avoid your weaknesses, and I've just never really seen her hit a good sling blade. So then she tried for lockjaw. Statlander rolled through, hoisted Baker up into a fireman's carry on her shoulders, and this is pretty cool. She transitioned from the fireman's carry position. She transitioned her into position for her cradle tombstone finish, the Big Bang Theory. I don't know if the announcers mentioned that, but that is what she calls it. Hit the Big Bang Theory, dumped Baker right on top of her head, and got the pin. I didn't think this was that good. Statlander looked good, but I didn't think this was all that good of a match. So Tony Schiavone, again, playing the Mean Gene role from the Nitro days. He is the designated interviewer after some of these matches. They send her... Sorry, Tony. They send him out there. And he's going to interview Chris Statlander. Now, Statlander takes her finger and, hey now, come on. Get your mind out of the gutter. She boops him or bops him. Whatever. What's the word? She went boop right on his nose. Statlander is supposed to be, this is what she calls herself. She's supposed to be the galaxy's greatest alien. She's very weird. She's a weird lady. She's supposed to be an alien. So she communicates with her finger. Kind of the way that E.T. used to communicate with his finger. See, I communicate with my finger too. When I'm angry with someone. I just happen to use a different finger than the one that she uses. So Brandi Rhodes walks out, and she wants an answer from Chris Statlander. Will she or won't she join the collective... I was going to call it the collective nightmare. That's what this fucking angle is. It is a collective nightmare. No, she wants to join the Nightmare Collective. It was a Freudian slip. She wants to know, are you in or are you out? Are you with us or are you against us? Awesome Kong is out there. Melanie Cruz is out there. Statlander waves her finger and says no, she's not with them. So with Kong walking out and Melanie Cruz walking out of the ramp, that distracts Statlander. When Statlander turns back around, though, Brandi clocks her in the eye with the spike of her high heel shoe. I have not seen a high heel shoe angle since WCW in 1995. And that wasn't very good. But it also puts Statlander's chances, I think, of winning the title in 2 weeks in some grave jeopardy. She may need to wear an eye patch. From alien to pirate. Just like that.
The world's greatest spy is going undercover.
You turn me into a pigeon.
I'm a freaking nature.
This Boxing Day, be shaken and burned.
Pigeons have 360-degree vision.
Will Smith.
I can see my butt and your face at the same time.
Tom Holland.
That is so cool.
Spies in disguise in cinemas Boxing Day.
Hey, Ken Sampson, thank you, brother. $25 super chat on a poll. Hope you enjoy a little bit of the bubbly this Christmas. Well, I will. In fact, I might be enjoying some of the bubbly after I'm done here on this stream. It's been a long day. It's been a long day, been a long week. Am I supposed to drink if I'm sick? Well, whatever. Who cares? If you're sick, it's going to make you feel better. So thank you, Ken, for the super chat. We see Sean Spears and Tully Blanchard in the back. Sean Spears is searching for a tag team partner. So he will be joining the tag team division here in AEW. Watch it be Janela. I swear. Watch it be Joey Janela. Because he's talking like we need to find somebody that we can mold. Tully is talking. We got to be able to mold them. We got to be able to shape them. We got to be able to do this to them and probe them and all these other things. God knows what to them. You could tell he wasn't working off a script. I could literally see the thought bubble popping out of Tully's head trying to figure out what to say next. But you know what? I kind of find that endearing in a way. Yeah, it's like there was an AEW fan who, this was a few weeks ago, and by the way, I did not notice any audio issues tonight. I have to give them praise. I did not notice any audio issues tonight with Dynamite. So hopefully the audio issues are behind them. Thank God. But there was somebody a few weeks ago, one of these like AEW diehards where they can do no wrong. Look, I'm an AEW fan, right? I stream my review for AEW every week. I want to see them succeed, but I call it like I see it. If they do something I hate, I tell you I hate it. If they do something I think sucks, I tell you it sucks. More often than not, I like what they do. But then you've got a whole other class of people. They could do no wrong. You speak ill of AEW and you're on their hit list. But there was somebody who said, and I wish I had the tweet in front of me, but it might have been Sean Ross Sapp who 2 weeks ago said, "Up, oh, more audio issues in the opening match." And somebody tweeted at him, some girl tweeted at him and said, "You know, I kind of find it endearing that they have audio issues, that their audio is not perfect on this show, unlike that other company." Yeah. Well, it's like, fuck WWE and their top-notch production. Unlike that other company, I find it endearing. Well, I got news for you. I don't find audio issues endearing. But this I find endearing. The fact that they don't script out their promos. They just let these guys, maybe they give them some core bullet points, and they just let them go and speak. Not everybody is a great promo. Tully Blanchard traditionally has been a very good promo. But every now and then, when you see somebody and they're kind of stumbling over their word, look, even Nick Aldis, NWA Power, not too long ago, there was a promo he was doing. Nick Aldis is a great talker. But there was one promo he was doing with Dave Marquez out there in studio, and you could see he was kind of fishing for the words that he wanted to say. I actually do find that kind of endearing. I do find that kind of refreshing, that they let these guys go off the cuff like that. So anyway, I kind of picked up on a little bit of that here with Tully, who usually is very good with his words. But anyway, so he's going to be joining the tag division. We'll see if Janela ends up as his partner, unless they just drop the whole storyline. I've not really been a fan of the whole Janela Spear stuff, but we'll see. And that led us to the main event. The Young Bucks against SCU for the AEW Tag Team titles. There was a Young Bucks promo before the match, promo video. And in the video, they mentioned, I think Matt Jackson mentioned how, you know, in AEW, the tag team titles actually mean something. And then again on commentary here during the match, Jim Ross, he reiterated, he said, this is a company in AEW where the tag titles mean something. And I thought to myself, I get what they're trying to do, and I'm okay with them kind of beating their chest and saying, hey, we're proud of our tag team division, because it is a strong point of the company. But I just thought to myself, I said, you know, this probably was not the week to be needling WWE, which is clearly what they were doing. Needling WWE over the importance of their tag team titles, given the fact that we got an excellent SmackDown tag team title match to open the TLC pay-per-view with New Day and The Revival. And then we had a women's tag team title match that actually headlined the pay-per-view. Now, it wasn't very good, and part of that had to do with Kairi Sane getting knocked around. I didn't really like the match at all, but it still headlined the show. So you can't say that they're not putting any emphasis on their tag team titles. A few months ago, sure. But maybe this wasn't the week to be making a comment like that. Anyway, match itself, Nick Jackson, who I guess is over his flu. I mentioned on the podcast, I said it was in the Observer. There was a note that somebody, and Meltzer wouldn't say who, maybe it was Meltzer, pretending to be somebody else, but he said there was one person who made the comment that Nick Jackson fighting through the flu in his match last week, it was kind of like Michael Jordan, you know, in that flu game that he had in the NBA Finals in 97. And I just laughed. And I also pointed out that Michael Jordan very likely did not even have the flu. He had food poisoning in that game, or so goes the story. Anyway, I guess Nick Jackson's over his flu, and he hit it Super Rana early here in this match. A few minutes later, Nick tagged in, flew into a cutter by Scorpio Sky, and the Dragon Sleeper followed that. Kazarian got a sleeper on Matt Jackson. Matt escaped, and fisticuffs between him and Kaz. So Scorpio Sky blind tags himself in. Bucks are going for the Meltzer driver. He cuts it off, and Kazarian just absolutely destroys Matt Jackson with a German suplex. And we have the Sky TKO from Scorpio Sky, SCU later. And that's it. This surprised the hell out of me. I'll tell you why. Number one, I thought the Bucks were winning. And number two, I didn't think this match was really anything special. And it sort of flew by in 10 minutes. It just kind of felt like the finish came out of nowhere to me. I mean, these two teams, I'm sure, are capable of a lot more. I figured, you know, this is the final main event of the final Dynamite of 2019. They're going to go out with a bang. You know, give these guys 15 minutes. Let them go out there, knock down, drag out. You know, even if the Bucks lose in the end, although I had convinced myself they were going to win, I guess that's my fault. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like, I don't know, this match did not really live up to expectations. Am I the only one who feels that way? Perhaps I am. But I guess they cut the match short because they had this wonderful post-match angle planned here involving the Dark Order. So the Dark Order, the Creepers, show up in their masks, and I guess they're here for some kind of initiation. Alex Reynolds, John Silver, they have been signed to contracts by AEW, and now they are part of the Dark Order. And they all gang up on SCU, they gang up on the Young Bucks. Christopher Daniels comes out, he gets beaten down. Kenny Omega comes down to the aid of the Bucks. He's overwhelmed. The numbers are just too overwhelming. Cody, Dustin, they come out, they get beaten down. And the announcers pointed out, no Hangman Page. You know, he was out there tagging with Kenny Omega at the beginning of the show. And there's no Hangman Page. I thought they were going to do some kind of reveal where he'd be under the mask. Perhaps that's where this is going. You know, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I do know that on Being the Elite, might have been the most recent episode, there was a scene with a drunk Hangman Page showing Private Party something on his phone. And anyway, there were allusions in there to the Dark Order. Like he was maybe on the Dark Order website. I forgot exactly what the tease was, but they were definitely planting the seed, planting the idea that the Dark Order could be recruiting Hangman Page. So I guess this is going to be the story going forward. Is Hangman Page going to join and perhaps even be the new leader of the Dark Order? That's certainly what they want you to think, but he was nowhere to be found. So Reynolds and Silver, they are gifted their official masks to be part of the group. And Evil Uno says, you know, don't ever doubt us again. And again, I was trying to get ready here for the show. And I'm looking back at the TV and I'm looking back and forth. So from what I saw, I turned around, I missed something real quick. I turned back around and Matt Jackson was bleeding from the mouth and Jim Ross was disgusted. He said, don't show that. It looked to me like Evil Uno was, what was he supposed to rip out the tongue of Matt Jackson? Is that what he was supposed to do? I guess. I didn't see a tongue laid on the mat. Maybe he pierced his tongue. I don't know. Maybe he has gingivitis. I just saw a bloody mouth from Matt Jackson. And that's how they went off the air. I didn't like this finish at all. And I like the Dark Order stuff they've been doing. I just thought this was a very flat way to end your final show. You know, I thought maybe there was some kind of reveal that was coming or something, but no, it just sort of went off the air. Bunch of guys in masks. You know, Silver and Reynolds, I mean, we can't be expected to care about them at this point because they're two, you know, they've been positioned as two almost enhancement guys. You know, bottom of the totem pole. That's why they've been recruited into the Dark Order. They've been booked like two losers. And so the idea is that can't win, nothing's going right in their careers. Come join us. Come join the Dark Order. This is how they end the show? Like, we're supposed to care? You know, that these two guys have joined the Dark Order? Who cares? Who gives a shit? It'd be like having a Dark Order-type faction on Monday Night Raw, and, you know, Curt Hawkins joins the Dark Order. It's like, whoop-de-fucking-do. Who cares? That's how you go off the air?
Hey, smartphones! Duracell Bunny here. This season, you guys are going to be on the road for an eternity trying to find in-laws in town so small, they sound made up. Luckily, this Duracell power bank will give you up to 3 full charges to keep you powering on through playlist after playlist after playlist of mind-numbing holiday anthems. And who doesn't love that? Pick up a Duracell power bank and power on. Number of charges on the iPhone 8 and Duracell power bank 10,050 milliamp hour. Results will vary by device and conditions.
Anyway. I thought that was an underwhelming finish, but let's see. I did think the rest of the show was pretty solid. I thought it was a pretty solid show overall. Let's see if you guys agreed. Let's go to the polls. Let's check the numbers. The numbers don't lie. AEW poll so far with 1,000 votes in, 70% thumbs up, 30% thumbs down. That's actually a lower number than usual. Not that 70 is a bad number. Usually that's 75-ish. Between 75 and 80, but still overwhelmingly positive. 70 up, 30 down. Again, you can still vote. And let's check what you guys thought of NXT. I have not seen any of NXT. I do not know what happened on NXT. I am not looking. I'm going to be wrapping up here momentarily so I can go get caught up on NXT. But let's see what you guys thought of the show. Well, there you go. 83% thumbs up, 17% thumbs down, with 730 votes in so far. That's a better score than AEW got. I guess I'm in for a really good NXT tonight. 83-17. I said it once, I'll say it again. Wednesday night. Wednesday night is the night to beat. Maybe not in the ratings, but Wednesday night is the night to beat in terms of wrestling. Let me just say this, by the way. And I'm there will be no phone calls tonight. We'll get back to the calls in a couple of weeks. I always get ripped on even for some of the calls anyway. So I didn't want to put up with the headache tonight of being yelled at for taking phone calls. But we'll do that again in 2 weeks. But let me just say this. This weekend is episode 631 of The Sound Off. This will be the Christmas show. And one of the things I intend to talk about and cover this weekend, because I think it just makes for a good discussion topic, you know, and you may have seen the tweet that I put up. I wish I had it in front of me. But I put up a tweet that reminded people that we just celebrated yesterday the one-year anniversary of the McMahons coming to the ring on Raw and saying, "We're going to give you, the fans, what you want to see." That was on December 17, 2018. And I got a lot of comments from people arguing, "Still waiting, haven't gotten what I'm looking for, Raw sucks, this and that." And then I got an equal number of comments from people saying, "You got exactly what you wanted. At WrestleMania, you got everything you wanted and you people still bitch. It's all your fault. It's all the fans' fault. Everybody in the chat right now, it's all your fault." I got all those comments too. And I'm going to talk about all this on Sunday as far as what I think. Contrary to what some people may have thought when I put that tweet up, because I got a lot of people who insulted me and hurled expletives at me thinking I was giving some kind of opinion. I was just stating a fact. I never gave my opinion. Some people might be surprised by my opinion. But it's just way too much to put in a tweet. So I'm going to talk about it on Sunday. But the reason I bring it up now, and one of the points I'll make, concerns NXT and AEW. And I will say that this is on the fans. We talk about these shows every single Wednesday. And I talk about how Wednesday night it's always a fun night. I love the back and forth between the two shows. It's a pain in the ass because I wish, you know, I could flip more freely, but, you know, because I'm covering the show and I'm going to do a stream, I can't flip like I would have during the Monday Night Wars when Raw and Nitro were on at the same time. But it's all good. But Wednesday night, for me, is truly the night for fun wrestling. I have enjoyed the back and forth. NXT's an awesome show. NXT is... I think as good now as it's ever been as far as weekly television. And AEW, more often than not, is more hit than miss. AEW is very good as well. It's largely a very fun show. And last week, both shows somehow tied in the ratings, 778,000 viewers for each. I still don't know how they pulled that off. I mean, think about the just how likely is that? That they would tie right down to the number. But the bigger issue is that you had both shows last week combining for about 1.5 million viewers on television. Now, for all the people who talk about how great NXT is and how great AEW is, they're only combining for 1.5 million viewers. AEW, 778,000. NXT, as great as it is, 778,000. Monday Night Raw with Lana and Lashley. SmackDown with Roman Reigns smeared with dog food. May as well be dog shit. 2 million people. 2.3, 2.5 million people are watching that shit. 778,000 watched these shows last week. Where are all these people? Where are all these people who complain about Raw and SmackDown? They love NXT. They love AEW. And they don't watch. Where are all these people? They talk about it, and they don't tune in. Whose fault is that? That's not Vince McMahon's fault. That's not WWE's fault. That's not my fault. That's not AEW's fault. I'm watching the shows. You guys are watching the shows. Where are all these other people? So that's a little taste of what I'll get into this weekend. Again, some people may be surprised by what I have to say on the subject. But you can ruminate over that a little bit and chime in and let me know if you agree. It's going to be a fun show on Sunday. Hopefully everybody will tune in. It is the annual Christmas show. Again, no stream next week. We will be streamless next Wednesday. We will be back with a brand new Dynamite stream. The very first Dynamite stream of 2020 on New Year's Day, January 1st, 10 p.m. Eastern. As soon as Dynamite goes off the air, or a few minutes after, Dynamite goes off the air. Join me back here live on the YouTube channel then. So until then, be well, stay safe. If I don't get the chance to talk to you guys again, as far as these streams go until next year, I wish everybody happy holidays and a very happy new year. Thank you for all of your support, and I will see you back here again for more Sound Off here on the YouTube channel in the new year. Take care, everybody.
Where would we be without you? The butchers, the bakers, the digital future makers. From BLTs to MOTs, you're the companies that keep us all going. So mind your business, Britain. And so will we, with our £14 billion lending fund to help small businesses. Because deal or no deal, from Downing Street to the High Street, every business is part of something far, far bigger. Find out how HSBC could help you at business.hsbc.uk/mindyourbusiness. All lending subject to status.
Hey, smartphones! Duracell Bunny here. This season, you guys are going to be on the road for an eternity trying to find in-laws in towns so small they sound made up. Luckily, this Duracell power bank will give you up to 3 full charges to keep you powering on through playlist after playlist after playlist of my numbing holiday anthems. And who doesn't love that? Pick up a Duracell power bank and power on. Number of charges on the iPhone 8 and Duracell power bank 10,050 milliamp hour. Results will vary by device and conditions.